This is episode 184, recorded October 3rd, 2014. Packard pokes at, "Don't call me Bender, you're a piece of plastic." I want to thank Crystal Says So from the chat room for this week's show title.
You can help support and promote the show by purchasing our merchandise at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt, where you can choose from a variety of different items like hoodies, hats, and bears. Oh my! Put a Packard Pokes At mug in your hands today.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far East Coast is Joe Unseen.
Oh, the marmalade sandwich.
Paddington. Didn't he like to used to eat marmalade sandwiches, or was that a different? It was a different kind of marmalade, or it was orange marmalade, wasn't it?
I am referencing The World's End.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Sorry, I'm a Paddington man myself.
and the less classy answer is, it means you have sex with a blonde and then a redhead and then a blonde.
Oh. Okay.
That's nasty. No, it's not.
Nasty.
Join us for the far west coast is Connie, Practical Magic 9.
It's my favorite season. My favorite season, you fool. I love fall.
I love fall. I love the yes. fall. Woohoo. This is episode 184. If you're trying to find the show on Stitcher, for some reason Stitcher is not sending out our show, I'll have to contact them and try to figure out what's going on.
Stitcher sucks.
Yeah, Stitcher is getting really bad right now. So I don't know. It's the last several episodes. But the show is still showing up on iTunes, so go figure that one out. So anyway.
iTunes. Who the heck uses... Oh, I do.
Right. All right, let's get on to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Science. Oh, before we get started, we are starting to do something new, starting this show. If you want to call in, and we have a phone number, and you can be part of the show, it will be at 857-216-3200. And you have to use PIN number 35368. And then you can get your thoughts in on the show as well. And we will hear your voice. And you can talk to us live. So if you want to join the show, call the number. And we'll bring you in and get your thoughts on what we're talking about. With that said, that really sucked. And speaking of sucking, a physicist says... She says that she has proof that black holes do not exist.
And black holes don't suck?
And they don't suck. Apparently they don't suck, but my intro certainly sucked. Now, the thing is with black holes, everybody's got their own theory about black holes because we've never been to one. We don't know what they're like.
Everyone's got their own theory about them?
Apparently. Apparently. You don't want to know.
Absolutely no consensus in the scientific community. Everybody's just like, "Well, I think black holes are gumball machines."
I think
a black hole is a Yugo.
Have you ever ridden in a Yugo? I mean, really? No.
Yes. A friend of mine bought the Yugo from that movie, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. He actually has the car from the movie, and he drives it around town.
Okay, so that really must suck. Anyway, the paper was greeted with skepticism by other physicists, and the person who's making the claim is Marcini Houston herself admitted the finding is kind of hard to swallow. So she even the explanation she came up with, she found is kind of hard to swallow. The paper suggests that the possible resolution of the so-called black hole information loss paradox, which is Einstein's theory of relativity predicts that a black holes should form, but quantum theory says no information can ever permanently disappear from the universe. Another part on here, it says, according to Marcini Houston, the collapsing star sheds its mass and it shrinks, so no black hole is ever formed. Instead, as she and her collaborators of the University of Toronto computational relativity experts, Dr. Harold Pfeiffer, wrote in the paper, the star stops collapsing at a finite radius, and then the core explodes. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know what she could do with her results? She can publish them in a peer-reviewed journal and then collect her Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's using mathematics to try and prove that black holes couldn't exist. And the way I see that is it's kind of like using logic to prove it. Like you can use logic to prove anything is or isn't logical so long as the prepositions are true.
Right.
You know, and that's where evidence comes in. So she's trying to use math to show that black holes don't exist. And, you know, the mathematics might play out to the end like, oh, okay, blah, 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 blah. They don't exist. However, that contradicts the observational evidence. We have observational evidence that black holes do exist.
Right.
Yep.
One of them is that when matter enters black holes, it heats up and it glows in the X-ray band. And we can see this with X-ray telescopes. Another one is sometimes black holes emit powerful jets of matter and they shoot out from them at the speed of light. And we can see that. Another one is fast-moving stars. Sometimes stars get sucked into the gravity well of a black hole, and they just move super, super fast. It's just like, whoop, 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 whoop. And, you know, what the heck is doing that then? I mean, it all matches up. The observation, which is science, the observation, the evidence, matches up that there is something there that matches the prediction from Einstein that there are black holes.
Right. Yeah, that's what's just what we're calling it.
So she's using math to disprove observation, but the observation still is there. So she needs to get around that problem.
Right. Yeah. That's the big brouhaha in that is that the scientific community is going – basically what you said is that we have a lot of all this other evidence and trying to just use just a math formula to prove something is not real. I think our universe is a little stranger than sometimes math can even provide in that. Connie, your thoughts?
Strange attractants? Oh,
yeah. No, that was my last marriage.
I don't know what I just said. I mean, I just know it's a term. Anyway, don't hate me. Yeah, the paper was submitted to a non-peer-reviewed online research paper repository. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why would somebody do that? If you put the time and energy into this, why would you put it there? That's very questionable.
Yes.
And yeah, you know, we might not be able to, I don't know. This story went way over my head. I'm so glad Joe is here because I can sit here and I can nod at everything he's saying. And this is a subject that I can almost kind of grasp. It's like you can almost taste it. Mm-hmm. And then when you start to think about it, you know, I'm Doug the dog on up. I'm like, squirrel, you know. So, but yeah, and I found another website that had a paper, a guy who has actually met the woman, you know, Dr. Laura Mersini Houghton, and said, you know, she's really a wonderful person, but I was hoping that this wasn't going to come to light because honestly, I don't really want to have to refute this. And so, yeah, I'm pretty sure that Stephen Hawking and the like are sitting fine right now. I don't think that this paper is going to explode, that, yeah, they don't exist. Because, like Joe said, we can see that there's something that matter collapsed on itself. Is that maybe too much of a summation? You know, that something collapsed on itself, and it's actually a negative area that's pulling it in, like
right
the drain in my sink or something.
Right.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We had a comment on from Twitter. It says black holes get packed with so many things, and then they have a stellar orgasm. I think that was Torvian.
Oh, man.
I think that was Torvian from Twitter there. Boom! Ah! That's an orgasm that lasts forever.
It's the universe knowing itself?
The universe came to know itself.
Yeah. I mean, for black holes not to exist, there would need to be a lot of revision to the current model of what we observe and what we see.
Yep.
It's just, you know, I mean, she's saying that they couldn't possibly exist because of math. But, I mean, there's so much that we don't know about them also.
Oh, yes.
You know, right. They are kind of mysterious. I was busting on you before for saying there was no consensus. But, you know, there's so much about them that is still unknown. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they just don't exist. Oh, okay.
That is until we can get a satellite out there that'll be able to withstand those kind of gravity forces.
And I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. But I mean,
you cannot beat
could.
The laws of physics, Jim.
Did anybody ever watch that old Disney movie, The Black Hole?
Yes.
Basically, that they did that.
I love that movie. Even though it was so scientifically inaccurate.
Yes.
I'm sure it probably was.
Yeah. They've got to hover right at the edge of the horizon, you know, or the
event horizon.
Thank you. And they just got to sit there and go, yeah, we got this special drive that's doing that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that movie was Walt Disney Studios when they were hurting, back when Disney Studios wasn't making too much good stuff. That was Walt Disney Studios' response to Star Wars. They were like, "We need a space movie! Quick, get us a space movie! Earth Port 9's available! All right!"
There was actually a comic book that went along with that. I never had the second issue, unfortunately, but I had the first one. And it's like,
well, the second one got sucked into the black hole. But
apparently did too, yeah. It's like, we're going to get back to this thing. We'll come right back. And it's like, oh.
I mean, that movie is so weird. It's kind of like The Shining meets Star Wars.
It was.
That's the best movie. It was.
Yeah.
It was. Like, it was a little creepy.
I am Jack's happy spaceship. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm quoting the wrong movie. All work and no play makes Jack's spaceship kind of... No, I'm still
something,
misquoting
something. I'm thinking
no,
of...
But, I mean, I kind of like that movie because I watched it when I was a kid and it was kind of creepy. But, you know, it's not the greatest of movies.
Yeah, definitely.
It's 1,000 Leagues Under the Sea. It's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea out in outer space is what it was. That right. was...
Except 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was actually a good movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a fantastic movie, actually. That was Walt Disney's first live-action movie, and it was so good.
Oh, my gosh,
good.
I was so scared of squids.
It's a classic.
Yes.
After that, I had an irrational fear of squids attacking giant squid as a kid. Yeah.
Out on the West Coast there, in the middle of the landlocked area, you always get to worry about squid attack.
Well, it could happen.
It could happen. I could open a refrigerator, squid attack! Like in The Simpsons or something.
Yep. That's pretty.
I had an irrational fear of Kirk Douglas's chin. I'm like a
That's
little
one
kid
hell
watching
of a
this
dimple.
Movie. Like, this is great, but what the hell's wrong with his face?
Right.
That's one heck of a zit scar.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. Speaking of speaking of things that suck. And the Suckaway Time, over at Twitter got a grant from MIT to create a new research lab to analyze everything that you tweet. They want a $10 million investment. The scientists over at MIT Media Lab are creating a new research group that will access Twitter's entire feed of real-time and archived public tweets dating back to when Jack Dorsey's first tweet in 2006. Broadly, the Laboratory of Social Machines aims to better understand how information spreads on Twitter on other social media platforms, and the MIT Media Lab said it plans to build a data visualization, mobile apps, and other tools to create new forms of public communication and social organization. With something like this, I was thinking about this, and I don't know if we mentioned it at the meeting or not, but what we should do if they're going to start analyzing everything we do, we just start typing in gibberish and just flood Twitter with gibberish. And there's this
so
way
you it'll, just screw it'll, with
it'll
it.
Completely skew all the results. And they're just like, what is this? What does Barglenorf mean? I have no idea. It's just, hey, we'll retweet Barglenorf. Well, everybody seems to like Barglenorf. What the hell's a Barglenorf? Nobody knows. Because
have you ever looked at Twitter?
I have looked at Twitter. I've been on Twitter.
That's
for
what
a
it is.
It's Barglenorf.
Everyone talks about that. It's Barglenorf. That's the top trending thing all the time. Barglenorf.
Barglenorf, that's right.
Well, top trending in Australia. In America, it's you know,
Nargleborf. Yeah. Well, yeah. In Australia, it's Nargleborf because, you know, they're backwards and upside
right.
down.
Right. Smiley Cyrus up here.
The toilets go the other way.
Right.
which is actually a science myth.
Myth.
Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, this is great. I mean, now MIT can see all the science mistakes I've made during late night drunken debates with theists. I can actually remember some of them. I once said that, like, energy was the liquid form of matter or some bullshit, and the theist is just like, what the fuck are you talking about? And the next morning I wake up and I look at it and I'm like, what the fuck was I talking about? No, but, you know, this is actually kind of cool. Like, you know, some people are like, oh my God, what are they doing? Twitter is an open forum. It's a public forum. Everything everybody can see. You can, if you tweet something, the whole world can see it. And
right.
that's been common knowledge since the get-go. well, not common knowledge. It's that's they've been straightforward about it.
Like, right.
You know, this isn't like text messaging your friends. Everybody can see what you're saying. So in the past, Twitter has actually taken chunks of their archived tweets and just submitted them to the Library of Congress. And I think we've talked about this on the show before. Like 100 years from now, historians are going to be able to look back at Twitter and see what we were all upset about, like Romney this, Obama that, and you know, look through all the tweets and analyze that. Well, now Twitter is opening their archive up to scientific research. You know, how does information flow about people via social networks, social media? And it's actually a good thing. I actually like some of the analysis that they do with that kind of stuff. I imagine that probably 20 years from now, a lot of people are going to start suing the Library of Congress to get their naked selfies back.
Well,
you know, because I mean, the teenagers these days, I mean, they're all over on what is it, Snapchat?
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of them before they got into Snapchat were just like, oh, I'm using Twitter. I'm tweeting to my friends. You know, here's a boob shot.
Nice.
Because we're talking before we got on the air tonight, dick pics.
Yeah, we were talking about dick pics.
Yeah,
we're talking about
people tweet each other.
Richard Nixon.
Yeah, Richard Nixon. People are tweeting each other pictures of Richard Nixon all over Twitter, and you know it's just inappropriate because Richard Nixon needs to be in your pants where he stays.
Right. Connie, your thoughts?
I'm not a big one for Twitter. You know, all my tweets, you know, sucking real time since 2006. I don't do this a lot, but it is interesting though. I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm dissing it. Yeah, one of my favorite Big Bang Theory episodes was from season 4, episode 20, how the info spreads in social media. It's called the herb garden or herb garden germination, where Sheldon and his girlfriend, they pretend like they actually had sex and sort of trying to plot how long it takes for their friends to realize, you know, through gossip that they are, you know, what's going on. And I guess what I like about this study, though, is they're going back to the very first public tweet, which I didn't know. Everybody, this will be a future Jeopardy question. Answer in the form of a question. It was Jack Dorsey in 2006, first
right.
tweet. The fact that they're going over the entire body of this information makes it more reputable. I mean, you're having a better sample to survey from, so I'm assuming that what they'll find will be actually relevant.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Maybe they will be able to find the cure for cancer and all that. Most likely
it's
not.
Honey Boo Boo.
It's Honey Boo Boo. Torbjorn from the chat room says, I want to call the Library of Congress and ask them if they want to all my naked selfies, all they can handle.
No, Torvin, I want all your naked selfies. Send them to me.
All
and there's no amount that I can't handle.
That's Joe at Joe Unseen.
It's at Joe Unseen, UNSEEN.
Right.
Naked selfies. No.
Buy that domain name, Joe.
Did you say Honey Boo Boo?
Yes. Connie said that, yes.
I don't know. Yes.
Okay. I thought you were referencing the same movie I referenced.
No.
Let's boo boo.
Let's boo boo. I loved that movie though. I need to watch it
great.
Again.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Packard didn't watch it though.
No.
What?
Which movie?
The World's End.
Oh, The World's End. No, I did watch that movie.
We should just call this show The World's End.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember. We did watch that movie. I did watch that one. I didn't remember much from it. I was. See, they were so drunk in that movie, it just wore off on me. That's basically what happened.
Say the vapors of alcohol
Crystal,
in the movie
says,
made a memory black hole for Packers.
It was a memory black hole, yes.
Crystal says that Packard sends me all his naked selfies, and that's true. He does. And if you would like, if you want some naked selfies, just contact PackardPokes@sucks@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Which is a real email.
It was actually Packard Sonic Sucks, not Packard Pokes.
Oh, Packard Sonic Sucks.
It was Packard Sonic Sucks at
yes,
yahoo.com.
It's a real Gmail address.
It's actually at Yahoo. It's actually at Yahoo. It was an actual Yahoo account at yahoo.com. So it's never been checked though. I don't think
Eric said he checked it every now and then.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Last time I talked to him, he said he had not checked it in a while. But anyway.
He's give me the password to that, because I can open at least a few Twitter accounts with it.
What we are we using? Is it the Royal We or what?
It's the Royal We. That's a whole other type of Wii. Speaking of other things that are not Wii, we need to move on to our next topic for this evening.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
When it comes to sex. Yes, we're going to talk about sex again tonight. People love their toys. And sometimes some people take their toys a little too seriously, I think. A couple, Dave Hockey and Shaga Bigelow, is a little jealous of their numerous sex dolls her boyfriend keeps in the basement. So what they do is, instead of, you know, creeping out and then, you know, doing what most rational people would be and then leave, she got her own sex doll, and now they have sex with the sex dolls at the same time, like in threesomes and foursomes and other things like that. And
they're having threesomes with the sex dolls?
Yeah. Instead of, you know,
so
with a real...
two humans and a sex doll.
Yes. Two humans and a sex doll. So they spent more than $32,000 on this extracurricular activity. Now, whatever floats your boat. I have no problem with whatever floats your boat, but... you know, honestly, this is probably one of the weirdest things I'd seen and heard of in a long time. Joe, your thoughts?
Who's that guy? He's made of plastic. Who's that guy? His dick is fantastic.
Well, you know, this is all fun and games until the sex dolls start doing it when nobody's home. I mean, they have a boy sex doll and a girl sex doll. Next thing you know, there's a plastic baby, you know, it's like, you know, who's going to feed this thing? And then I'm going to show up and try to eat it. I'm like, this thing's made of plastic. Like, yeah, no shit. Don't stick your dick in it. It's a kid. Hey, hey, hey. I'm not a priest.
Too soon, Joe. Too soon.
Too soon, Joe. Too soon.
What's kind of interesting is in the article she said that he showed her his collection of sex dolls, and she was like, oh, tell me all about them, tell me all about them. He's telling her about it, like, oh, this one's named this one's named that, I have sex with them all. And they wore wigs. So she started having sex with him wearing the sex doll's wigs. She's like,
that's creepy.
I'm your plastic girl.
That's creepy. That is so creepy.
I'm gonna lay here motionless with my arms in the air.
Torvi in the chat room said this is all fun and games until someone can't afford a sex doll and their neighbor goes missing.
$32,000 on sex dolls. Like, yeah. Wow.
And they could donate at least $1. They couldn't even donate $1 to Packard Pokes at. I mean, that's just...
Think about the kids, man.
Think about the plastic children they could be...
And the arms of the plastic dolls.
Fuck Packard Pokes at. Somebody buy me a sex doll. I don't even want to have sex with it. I just want to drive around in my car with it. So, you know, what's up? I'm in the carpool lane, and I'm all by myself.
I've heard stories where people do that. They actually have gotten into trouble. They get called
mannequins and shit.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? This is my friend Steve. Say hello, Steve. Oh, he's got a cold. He can't talk.
Connie, your thoughts?
Well, the fact is, on their first date, they met online through an online dating service, and he takes her downstairs.
PlasticOrReal.com.
Takes her downstairs to see the dolls collection, and I'm like, well, there's a question for Dear Abby. Dear Abby, I want to meet online. How soon do you think I should reveal my extensive sex doll toy collection to them? You know, it's not a section in Emily Post for this.
On a first date, no less. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He's just like, well, you know what? This is make or break, so it might as well be first date. Like, would you like to come in for some coffee, see my etchings and my sex doll collection?
Should he have been creeped out when she pulled, when her first reaction is to pull the wig off the doll and put it on herself?
Oh,
I just don't know, you know. And I'm curious, out of the $32,000, they only talk about her one male sex doll, which she will interchange penises for.
Yeah,
doesn't say why or how, what shape or size or color or anything. But how many of those are his and how many of those are hers?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Joe's question also brought up, like, you come home and it's a Twilight Zone episode. That all the dolls are somehow upstairs and in your bedroom, and you're like, okay then.
Yeah, yeah. That would really creep me out. I mean, if I was out meeting somebody and then she said, yeah, this is my collection of sex dolls, I'd be going, okay, I'm gonna go wait in the car. And
well, actually, too much competition. I don't need this kind of pressure.
Yeah.
I need to interject here. I mean, what we're doing is victim blaming, kind of. I mean, we're blaming her. Like, why did you stay around? Why did you like get into that? He is the one collecting sex dolls.
Well, I wasn't blaming her. I'm just like, why didn't you leave?
No, I agree. I, and I'm guilty of it too, but he is the one collecting sex dolls.
Yes, he is the one collecting
sex
dolls.
He's inviting women into his house on the first date and be like, hey, you want to see my other girlfriends?
Well, that's creepy.
These are the ones that I don't have to buy dinner for.
See, the thing is, those were literally sex dolls. Those were the missing neighbors. He dipped them in plastic.
Now, I don't want to go there, but I just watched the new version of Maniac, and it was really, really, really awfully creepy and awful.
I've not seen that show.
Never mind. It's but yeah, he turns humans. He scalps women and puts them on mannequins and.
Ooh.
Yeah. So.
Quagmire all over again.
Thing isn't there inherently? I don't know.
Crystal was saying Elijah Wood. I have no idea.
Yes, Elijah Wood. It was against type for him. So, anyway, I'm sorry. That was a really dark place. I blame Halloween. It's October.
It is October. Okay. Hence, if you're not here at the live show, you're not seeing the beautiful background we put up here tonight. Instead of, you know, putting up our regular spinning Earth, we've got a nice little background from Central Park.
Yes. It's Antarctica.
Yes. Otorvian also just tweeted, are male sex dolls always erect or do they need encouragement?
I wish the article told us, Torvin. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Now, the boy doll has interchangeable member.
Yes.
Right? I read that correctly? So it's kind of like the King Missile song. Detachable penis.
I suppose you could probably buy a flaccid one. I don't know why you'd want to, but...
Yeah, why would you do that, Packard?
I don't know. Why would you do it?
Are you making a joke about me?
Well, you do have that sex doll that they keep in the trunk, you know.
I don't know any sex dolls. I wish I owned a sex doll. I don't have $32,000. I mean, those people are weird.
I don't know if they actually say that the one he has his arms around, if she's actually from the movie Lars.
I saw that too.
Lars and the real girl. They imply in the thing. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe. I mean.
No. You're absolutely right. The article implies that the doll he owns is the one that was in that movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like, where'd you go to secondhand RS? Like,
you'd be surprised what you can find online.
He went to the sex doll shop, and they're like, well, this one here, she's been around a block a few times. She's been in a movie or two. Crystal, yeah, we could get you a good deal on this one.
Yeah, Crystal from the chat room says, at least he keeps his mouth shut. Well, vocally, anyway.
I what I have to say would wind up being slut shaming to response to you. so I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut. So yes.
Hey, you once had a great quote about slut shaming. So is it slut shaming if they're made of plastic?
Speaking of,
it's what they were made for.
Right, exactly.
Now I'm thinking about Muppets with hands inside of them. I don't know why.
Speaking of when it's time to keep your mouth shut, Tina Lewin was arrested after giving cops a fake name of a wanted person. She basically knew she had an arrest warrant out for her. So she figured, you know what, I'll make up a fake name on the spot. And the name that she chose apparently also was had arrest warrants out for them as well. And she was promptly arrested. And she, oh my gosh. She... The officer informed Luann about her arrest warrant, and she didn't reveal that until she had given the fake name. In fact, she went through the entire booking process using the assumed name. Eventually, officers discovered her real identity. They also discovered that she also had, like I said, had several warrants out under her real name, including 3 accounts for assault and battery. It's probably worse if it's assault with a battery, of course. with a dangerous weapon, kidnapping, larceny, and possession of a chemical mace. According to Boston.com. What, I'm not exactly sure what larceny is. I mean, it always sounds like you've got some kind of bad rash or something and you, like, scratch it on other people, I guess. You know, like
lice. I think it's stealing.
It's stealing? Okay. But now I'm just trying to make a joke.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Answer in the form of a question.
Answer in the form of a question.
I'm sorry.
There we go. Show your thoughts.
Man, what are the chances? I mean, she gave a name and a date of birth, and both just happened to match up with somebody who was wanted.
Right.
And this is all over because she was smoking in a non-smoking area.
Yeah.
So now she's in, like, they took her down to the police station, fingerprints, handcuffs, mugshot, all because she was smoking. And she gave the wrong name and happened to guess a birth date.
Yes.
Of somebody who was wanted. I mean, that's just, it's like the chances of doing that are probably smaller than winning the lotto.
Right. Which she should probably, you know? She probably should have gone out and played the lotto at that point.
I know, right? Have, like, yeah. Like as soon as I get out of here, I'm playing the lotto because God damn it. But yeah, I mean, you know, it kind of sucks. I mean, if she had just given her real name, this might not have happened. And now she has to deal with additional charges, like they're charging her with lying to the police about her identity. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, she has to deal with a ticket or violation for actually smoking in the non-smoking area.
Yeah. Kind of your thoughts.
I kind of wonder if the larceny was for stealing identities. And that's why she had this name in her Rolodex or in her head. I'm trying to figure out why she'd have it in her head. Well, let me just quote Forrest Gump, "Stupid is as stupid does." Sorry, hon, but yeah, no, this is like karmic, you know, a perfect little circle right here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if I believed in karma, it would further reinforce in my head all of the reasons that it should exist, I guess. So,
right.
Everybody else, go out there, because I think she used up all the bad luck this week.
Yeah, at least. At the very least.
Yeah.
Kirstel was asking, Joe, you need to explain, going back to the last story, you need to explain all the bodies that are in your trunk all the time. So.
Dana sent us a link for realdoll.com, and I'm looking at the page now.
And that's why.
Yeah, that's why
you didn't know about Real. You didn't know about realdoll.com? You can pick one up a brand new for about $8,000, roughly. How do I know this? Why do I know this?
You're not joking. You're not joking because that's how much they cost. They're completely posable and they look like real people.
Yep. You can shower with those things and everything like that. Totally not this story here, but
I'm too busy looking at naked plastic dolls.
Right.
It was like, I'm bookmarking this. It's my new favorite website.
You need to shell out. Take them to Victoria's Secret.
There you go. Just drag them to the store. Can you?
This is better than just using the carpool lane.
Yeah. Can you put some blush on my girlfriend here? So, yeah. Dark and Dog in the chat, for that kind of money, he could marry a woman and have her lay there as you did all the work. That's pretty much the same thing.
God.
I know, right? Oh, no. Yeah. Mail order brides are cheaper than the plastic dolls.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Speaking of all kinds of money situations and things, if you want to give away some of your money to a good cause, and especially give it to us over here at Packard Pokeset, you can donate as little as a dollar once a month over at patreon.com/PackardPokeset, and you could help keep the show running and help us find new ways of entertaining you. So if you would like to get more information on how you can contact us, we're going to give you all that information right now.
You should contact us by email at ppapodcast or packardpokesat@gmail.com and follow the show on Twitter as @packardpokesat and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/packardpokesat or just type packardpokesat into the Facebook search bar. Call our Google Voice at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727 and leave a short message and we will play it on the show. Join in the show live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokeSat. Download and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Mixler Radio, and watch the show on YouTube. Visit our show page at PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com for links to the stories and purchase merchandise from CafePress.com/PackardPokeSat to support the show. For everyone that rates us, you are awesome sauce.
All right, well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Over in Washington State, apparently they had an inmate escape. And, you know, that's pretty bad. You know, the fact is that someone was able to escape jail. What the problem here was that it wasn't just the fact that he escaped, that nobody knew he had escaped for 2 days. And it probably would have gone on even longer had the guy's lawyer came to talk to him while he was in jail. Ryan Vasquez, age 19, and he was back in custody in Marsville City Jail, north of Seattle, facing possible escape charges along with previous robbery allegation. And like I said, his lawyer went to go see him, and they're like, he's not here. We can't find him. How incompetent does your prison system need to be before you realize that your prisoners are missing? I mean, really, you need to go and do things, you know, with them on a daily basis. You ever watch those movies? They say bed check, bed check, bed check. The thing was, the way he disappeared was that the staff had checked the surveillance video and saw that Vasquez had backed out a door into the hallway on September 22nd while a group of inmates was returning from a Bible study class held in the visitation area. Just another good reason why you should not give prisoners religion or access to religion, because you can use it as means to escape. Joe, your thoughts?
Man, you stole my joke. I was going to say the Bible study made him do it. He's like, shit, I got arrested. I'm in jail. I'm in Bible study. I'm out. He's like, I'm facing a longer prison term by running out this door, but the other option is prison Bible study. If I was in prison, I would go to Bible study just because I'm interested in that. But, you know, like, clearly it's driving inmates into the streets without the cops knowing.
I ain't doing no more Bible study. I gotta get out of here.
I mean, that's so embarrassing for the prison staff, you know, like, they're yes. Like, all right, when was the last time we saw this guy? And they're going through the archive footage, like, okay, no, he's not in the cafeteria, he's not in the shower, he's not anywhere.
It's the soap where he dropped
here he is,
it.
Here he is, days ago, oh, shit, he's going out a door.
Maybe if someone had actually thought to, you know, lock the door, you know.
Yeah, who didn't lock the door? Let's blame it on the new guy, Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Torvi in the chat.
You didn't lock that door. I'm not responsible for that corridor.
Torvi in the chat room said, "Now Christian using prison guy is proof of rapture." he was raptured. We don't know what happened. We were raptured. Remember, if you do, if you would like to join in the show, call us. Kind of your thoughts.
Yeah, well, where's your God now? You know, where's it's like, it was the Lord's will. Nobody in the Bible study had an inkling that somebody was going to escape. God's not like, psst, psst, hey, God, by the way, when you come in, somebody's going to sneak out. You need to tell somebody. What side is God on? Really?
Right.
Anyway. yeah, well, anyway, that's what I've got. Omniscient? I don't think so.
Right, apparently not.
Right under God's nose, this prisoner escaped. And I like what the lawyer had to say. Well, we obviously weren't involved in the planning.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously. I have to feel sorry. I don't know. Feel a little bit sorry for this kid. He's only 19, and he's already, you know, has a burglary allegation.
I find that last statement they made quite weird, because we weren't obviously involved in the planning. Why would you plan your own prisoner's escape? What is it? What does he think this is? Stalag 13?
I mean, yeah, somebody that implies that somebody this was a question.
New prisoners in, new prisoners out. New prisoners in, new prisoners out. Nobody knows what's actually going on. It's World War II out there. Oh, wait, no, that's a TV show.
Is it Fox News? Oh, it's AP. Never mind. It says Fox News. It's ABC News. Oh, okay.
Dr. Zog says it was the Exodus that gave him the idea. and then Torbjorn says Christians are using that prison guy as proof of the rapture.
Yeah, I know. That's what I just read that.
Oh, you read that one?
Yeah.
God gave this land to me.
Right.
That's pretty funny.
Yes. Remember, like I said, you could call us at 857-216-3200. Use PIN number 35368 if you would like to get your thoughts in on the show. All right. Well,
and that's Packard's personal cell phone number, so call it any time of the day or night. He's available 24 hours.
8 days a week, twice on Sunday.
Yes. He's in the central time zone in North America, so if it's 3 a.m. there, that's a good time to call.
Actually, that might be a good time to call. I'll probably be up at that time.
Okay, that's a terrible time to call. Call at 10 p.m. his time.
I'll be up at that time too, Joe. I never sleep. I never sleep. Right, I'm awake all the time.
Just blow up his phone. Just blow it up.
For phone, Duck and Dog in the chat room says, for phone sex, use PIN number 696969. That actually might be a real PIN number, Joe or Dawkins. I don't know.
Yeah, that PIN number only works in Wisconsin.
Oh no. Cue the porn music and. Anyway.
Chicka-wow-wow.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, we're gonna get on to our next topic for this evening.
What if there's a really bad, crummy guy who's going to jail, but I know he's innocent?
Well, Bart, your Uncle Arthur used to have a saying. Shoot them all and let God sort them out. Unfortunately, one day he put his theory into practice. It took 75 federal marshals to bring him down. Now let's never speak of him again.
Oh my God. I love The Simpsons.
Uri Geller claims that the iPhone 6 bending, I don't know if you've been hearing about this in the news, the new iPhone 6 came out recently, and now he's saying it's being caused by massive mind power. The famous for allegedly bending spoons with his mind, as it were, quote unquote, I'm using scare quotes, is now explaining what the fork is up with the iPhone 6. That's because he would bend spoons and forks. he rose to fame back in the 1970s, claiming he could bend spoons by just staring at them, which has never been substantiated. He now figures out why the iPhone 6 is so prone to bendability, because here's what he says. There are two possible explanations. Geller told MarketWatch, either the phone is so seriously thin and flimsy that it's bendable with mere physical force, which I cannot believe, given the extensive tests Apple would have done, or, and this is far more plausible, somehow the energy and excitement of the 10 million people who purchased iPhones has awakened their mind powers and caused the iPhones to bend. You know, Giller, this is called Occam's Razor, and you're doing it backwards. It's... I urge Apple to hire me to explain to the world that this is not the company's fault at all. Yeah, this is what you need. You want to have a psychic to present your product and to promote your product. Say, oh, the bending thing? Oh, that's just your mind. Don't think about your phone because you'll bend it with your mind. Wow. Wow. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, Uri Geller rose to fame in the 70s. Claiming to be able to bend spoons with his mind, like you said. And he was famously debunked on the Johnny Carson show with the help of James Randi. Johnny Carson was a behind-the-scenes magician, and he called his friend James Randi and said, hey, I'm going to get Uri Geller on here, and I'm going to, I want to kind of like see if he can really manipulate metal with his mind like he claims. And this is a famous debunking. You can find it on YouTube. It's really good. Mm-hmm. James Randi told Johnny Carson, okay, provide your own props and don't let him or his people touch him ahead of time. And so Uri Geller came out on stage and sat down next to Johnny Carson, and there was a little table set out with all these spoons and other things of metal and stuff. And Uri Geller is just like, I'm kind of scared about this. And Johnny Carson's like, oh, I'm not trying to pressure you or nothing. I just wanted to see you do your thing. And Uri Geller is just sitting there sweating bullets like, oh, no. Oh, no. These aren't my spoons that I bent ahead of time that will break when I want them to break. These are spoons that these people are trying to trick me with. And it's so classic. It's so fun. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go on YouTube and watch this, it's like, oh, no.
There'll be a link at packardpokes@wordpress.com. Linked into the a site with the video as well. So
of course. But yeah. So here he is. Like the iPhone 6 is allegedly bending, which is another one of those things that wound up on the Washington Post list of what was fake on the internet this week. And he's saying that like, oh, it's because whatever Uri Geller says that mind power, he says, can bend the iPhone. Right. Which is complete nonsense.
Yeah. Speaking of complete nonsense, I'm going to play a little clip here. I didn't prepare this, so I'm just going to play it. Try to, anyway. You might remember this commercial, maybe, if it plays or not. My computer is boggy big time. Which makes for a great show, doesn't it? When I do these things impromptu, I don't do them.
Dead
I don't plan it in time. Don't plan
That's
them ahead
what
of time.
What we want is dead air.
Right.
Oh. There you go.
Oh, crap. I just bent my iPhone.
He was thinking about the sex doll.
Well, while we're waiting for the video here, go ahead.
Gentle, Joe, gentle.
Gentle. Be gentle with it. Connie, your thoughts.
Well, okay, the fact that he found it plausible just automatically is like, okay, so instead of choosing door A, I should choose door B. I mean, I will do the absolute opposite. Whatever this man wants. And when we post our link to the Huffington Post picture, what's really kind of spooky to me is that if you put some nerdy glasses on him, he kind of looks like Steve Jobs. So I'm going, okay, so you want to talk about the iPhone. So you're Steve Jobs' evil twin. No, he's been so thoroughly debunked. I thought he was dead, actually. I didn't realize he was still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, really? You and George Jones? Wait, George Jones is actually dead now. But
we lost Carlin, but Uri Geller is still on the earth.
That's huge.
That's proof there is no God.
That's
that's right.
Or it's proof that there is one.
and he's a sadistic son of a something or other. Yes,
he's a sadistic son of a bitch. He's sending dick pics. That's what the problem is. You got to send.
That's
dick
right.
Pics. But anyway, well,
if you send the dick pics to the iPhone 6, and you bend your phone, then the dick looks longer.
He's sitting up there with Nixon and Hitler.
Hitler and Nixon are in heaven together. I know.
They're cuddling. They're spooning.
Just cuddling. Anyway, the commercial I was going to play, I don't know if people remember this one, Miss Cleo, call me now for your free tarot card reading. And then, you know,
oh, I remember that. That was hilarious.
Oh, here it is. It's finally loaded up.
Entertainment purposes only.
Cleo.
Yeah, it's finally loaded up here. Let's see if I can get it to play here.
Only insomniacs know about this.
Oh yeah, well that
other
would,
shifts.
That would definitely be me. The audio is
called
a little low.
7-6-8.
One. All right, here we go. Here's a clip from the Cleo question here.
This person is that's around you right now has been in jail before.
Yeah, you're right. You're telling the honest truth. Right.
You got a temper.
Yes.
Well, we're just grateful that now you aren't throwing things anymore. You got through that through your 20s, didn't you?
Yeah, I used to see that.
You used to pick up anything that was nearby and just lob it at the ex-husband.
Oh, yes, I did.
Find out what I see for you. Call me now for a free tarot reading.
I tell you what I think you want to hear, and you think I'm psychic. It works for both of us.
My bad Jamaican accent.
And the best part is the first 3 minutes are free. Must be 18 for entertainment purposes only.
which means she tells you a lot of enticing things for the first 3 minutes. Like, oh man, there's something really good coming your way. But my vision is a little cloudy right now. And oh, I just need your credit card number, and then I could get my vision clear again.
Now why I don't people watch the movie Ghost? Whoopi Goldberg's psychic thing was so funny.
why don't people understand that this stuff is just so much bullshit? It's just
cold reading.
Cold reading.
Yeah, that's the thing is the people that go to those things, they hear what they want to hear, and then they believe. I mean, I know this woman. She recently lost her son. Mm-hmm. Kind of sad. Thing that happened to her, and she said to me, she's like, I don't believe in that stuff, but I need to ask my son one last question, so I'm going to go to one of those psychics.
Right.
And I was like, oh, you know, I didn't want to tell her, like, you know, like, I didn't want to tell her what to do, you know, like, oh, you right. shouldn't do that, that's all bullshit. I was just like, oh, okay, well, just keep in mind that sometimes those people, they tell you what you want to hear, and then they hold out their hand for money.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no, I know. I'm going to be careful. And then I ran into her again a few weeks later, and she was like, telling me that she knows her son is around her because her phone sometimes shuts off.
Oops.
And, like, the TV
what?
Will get louder, and it's not supposed to. And so she's going to go back to the psychic again to ask more questions. And I was like, oh, man.
Torvin in the chat room here says, there were bottles on the table that were supposed to be filled with water that Yuri was supposed to find the ones without water. They made the table heavy enough so that Yuri couldn't stomp hard enough to make the ones without water jump. So, okay, yeah, that's great. So
yeah, I was wondering what the little jars were on the table there.
Yeah, so I just – but they did stuff like this before. This guy would – supposedly was able to make phone book pages move. And then they kind of noticed that the page looked like he was blowing on him. So he said, okay, so we're going to take some of the styrofoam popcorn and place it all the way around the book. Mm-hmm. So this way, if there's any air movement, it'll stop it. So he couldn't figure out how to do it without blowing on the pages, and he wasn't able to do it. So they were able to completely debunk him.
My husband used to do this little trick with the kids, and he put a pencil on the edge of a table, and he would move his hands over it and make it spin. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was doing. You know, he was breathing on it. And he used to, just, when they were little, he would just like, oh, how are you doing that? You know, yeah, that's funny that you'd mention that, because he used to get them all the time with that.
The closest thing I could do to that is I could take this pencil, I can make it look wack, I make it like it's rubber.
Oh,
see, look at that.
It's rubbery.
It's rubbery.
Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, I just like, yeah, I remember doing that. That's funny you'd mention that. Like, yeah, that's cute parlor trick. That's what it is. It's a parlor trick. It's
yes,
right,
an
right.
illusion.
I absolutely love how many skeptics are magicians, or what are now called illusionists. And how many of them go after the quacks and the fakes and the psychics and the charlatans and stuff. Like, James Randi, he was a famous magician, and he's like, you know, the king of the skeptics. Recently on TV, they did a TV movie about Houdini.
Yeah.
And Houdini's first half of his life was all magic tricks and escape attempts and everything. But later in his life, he was going after psychics and mediums and clairvoyants and stuff and exposing them using what he knew about stagecraft and about tricks and just going after them and showing and demonstrating that they were fakes and frauds. And, you know, Johnny Carson, in this story, it mentions that Johnny Carson was also a magician and he was yes. interested in inviting these people on his show just to expose them.
Oh,
he
yeah.
was setting them up. He knew. He was like, this guy is a fake and I know it. And I'm going to bring him on the show and they're going to come because I have a big show. And they're going to come and they're going to be like, I can do all this stuff with metal or with my psychic mind. And he's going to be like, oh, yeah? Prove it.
Doc and Jug,
can I ask you a – oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Real quick here. Doc and Jug says that, Packard, you do realize that Yuri Geller is responsible for all the tech problems you have. He knows you're going to talk about him.
Good Dawkins dog.
Yay. That reminds me real quick, a number of years ago, this guy was supposedly from Russia, and he could supposedly interrupt a camera broadcast just by using his mind, and he would like think it real hard, and next thing you knew, the camera like would cut out on the screen, not like anything from Russia was going to be, you know,
oh,
valid.
Of course.
So, it was really, it was except for that, you know, that's the only thing he had that came out of Russia.
What I wanted to ask you, Joe, is it's funny because my understanding about Houdini is that the reason that he's talked about so much and they have seances and everything, you know, trying to contact him is the popular culture says that he did this because he was trying to find spiritualism, trying to find out about a life after death. But was he, I had never thought about this before. So his aim was actually to expose and disprove it? Was he actually searching for it? And he
well, he was. He did search.
He was a skeptic.
Yeah, he was a skeptic. And his wife, after I think somebody had died.
His mom died.
His mom died, and they would say, he went to all these so-called psychics, and they said, you know, tell me, you know, what she would say and whatnot. And he actually had set up a special secret word between him and his wife. And apparently she was supposed to go to psychics after he died. That was
right.
her job after he died. If they had,
it's his mom.
Yeah. No, it was, well, I don't know what the word was, but he said, if you go to these psychics after I die, and if any of these psychics say, I'm sending this secret word, this special word just between you and I, and then they'll know that they're not hoaxing you. And apparently at one point, so for a long time, nobody could figure it out. But apparently somebody did eventually find out what the word was. So they tried to use that. But by that time, she was close to death anyway herself. So but.
Right. Well, but that's, again, that's what most of these psychics do is they, it's like the movie Ghost. It's like when she's sitting there talking to, you know, when Demi Moore's character is sitting there talking to the police officer, they'll go through your garbage. They'll go through anything to try, and people are so desperate to have one last discussion with their loved one that they will believe anything.
Yep. And the fact that people will take money to offer that kind of service, even though that kind of service is bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, and they know the skill of telling people what they want to hear.
Yes.
You know, like they can make it sound so generic. Yeah, exactly. They make it sound so generic that it sounds like it would sound true to anyone hearing it.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that
Sylvia Brown just passed away this last year. Thank goodness.
Yeah, Sylvia Brown. Oh, yeah. She was a. Oh, I. She makes me so angry.
She couldn't predict her own death.
Yeah, she was about a year. No, it was not a year, but she was like 10, 11 years off. She said, "I'm going to die on this day." Oh well, that's. Then she finds and she ends up dying 10 years sooner, so
yeah.
That woman was full of horse shit. Speaking of horse shit, we got a video for you.
He owns a lot of horses.
Yeah, he owns a lot of horses, and he is full of horse shit. So let's we'll put that video up here right now.
You got a couple of answers.
Hi, Pat. This is Mary of Cumberland, Maryland. She suffered with pain in her back for the past 2 years, has been praying for her back to be healed. She was watching this program, heard you give a word of knowledge saying, quote, someone is having trouble with their back and they're being healed right now. Mary claimed that for herself and felt her healing happening, then took off running through the house, praising the Lord.
Amen.
And here's Vicky. She lives in Morgan City, Louisiana. She was diagnosed with a bacterial infection that caused night sweats. She was watching this program and heard you give a word of knowledge about someone with night sweats being healed and that the virus was being cleansed from their body. She claimed that for herself, was completely healed, called our prayer center to let us know that when she returned to her doctor, he was amazed that she had been healed.
Well, we don't mean to bankrupt doctors, but we're going to take some business away from them.
Amen.
As the Lord does what he does.
We're going to take doctors' jobs away by praying for them. Oh, Robertson is repugnant. He is repugnant, very repugnant. The fact is that he thinks that because somebody out there, multiple millions of people in the United States, and one of them just said, oh, you know, you prayed for me, and all of a sudden, now my back does feel better. You know, back pain is not a most people, it's not a constant thing. It comes and goes, And just because you had an experience at that exact time doesn't mean a God healed you. It just means you just happened to catch this stupidity at that time. It's a total coincidence. It's total garbage. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is Robertson responding to emails that were sent in. These people might or might not actually exist. But let's put that aside and say, okay, let's say Robertson gave these words of healing on a stage with these people sitting right there next to him.
Yeah.
The first one is clearly placebo effect.
Yep.
You know, she claims she got up and ran around and was like, my back is healed. You see Benny Hinn sermons where he's like, oh, you can walk now. And the person gets up out of their wheelchair or throws down their crutches and walks across the stage. And everybody's like, hallelujah, it's a miracle. And what that person is doing is in the heat of the moment, they get overwhelmed with placebo and they're just like, yes, I can do it. And they force their bodies. But then later on, they're hurting like hell.
Oh, yeah.
Or they've damaged themselves even more. And the second one was a bacterial infection.
Yep.
And she said, you know, she watched on TV, you'll be healed or whatever his words were. And then she went to the doctor and the doctor's like, oh, you're not sick anymore. It's a bacterial infection. These things go away. We have immune systems.
Yeah.
It's what they do.
Yep.
You know, it's like, I have a cold right now and he says I'm healed. And then I waited 3 days and I went to the doctor and the doctor said, you don't have a cold anymore. Okay. Great, thank you, have a nice day. I mean, there's a simpler explanation than this guy spoke some words on TV and then God healed you.
Yeah. Dawkins, Dr. Chatterman says, he goes, oh, for fuck's sake, this healing works the same way as Yuri's mental clocks over the air. Somebody watching will always fit the bloody criteria. It's a scam. Of course it is. Of course it is. When I hear about people, Robertson, claiming this kind of crap, it reminds me of the second Chevy Chase movie where he's at this religious ceremony or whatever, you know, he's like a Benny Hinn type thing. And the guy is listening in an earpiece and someone's feeding him this information and is like, oh, you're going to be healed on this, whatever, you know. And he breaks into the booth there, knocks out the guy, and he's like, okay, I'm going to take out... The guy is like, oh, he's got hemorrhoids. Oh, well, you got to heal. It's like, you, the pastor goes, the guy that's up on the stage, show us your healing right now in front of everybody. Yeah. So he's like, okay. He starts pulling his pants down right from.
Oh, God.
Kind of your thoughts.
So, Pat Repugnertson, is that his new name?
Yes. Pat Repugnertson. Kind of
Repugnertson. Okay, well,
Pat Repugnertson.
I have been watching, I'm sad to say, I don't watch it currently anymore, but when I first saw Pat Robertson, I was homesick from, you know, school, like in junior high. And much like Meg on Family Guy, you know, you're sitting there and there's, you know, if you're a newly converted person and you're watching the religious show, I can say that this is exactly how he heals quote-unquote people.
Right.
It's not like a Benny Hinn. It's not like a stage where you have people jumping up and throwing down crutches. It's all by words of faith. It's all by prayer. And it's all so non-provable. And I sadly remember when I thought several times that one of those words of faith had actually been for me.
Yeah, I've been there too. I understand.
Yeah. So, there's, and the beauty of this is his hands are as clean as Pilate's. If we want to have a perfect little, you know, come back, you know, he can wash his hands of this and say, well, you know, they're so general as to be insignificant.
Yeah.
And as far as him taking away, you know, don't mean to put the doctors bankrupt. Yeah, no, you would probably prefer that they hire you to consult with them. And what will you be your fee again? Like 10% and then sign over their wills? Because all of those things are things that CBN endorses. You know, if you want to, you know, they want 10% of people's money. And if you have an estate, they said, consider us in your estate planning because you can hide it here. It's a religious organization and blah, blah, blah. So he is such a money-hungry bastard. He's one of those people that sit there and smile, and he's like evil incarnate. To me, he's worse than the Pope. It's as close as I come to actually hating somebody is this man.
Yeah.
And because of the lies that he promotes.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm with you on that. With you on that. The fact that he's telling people that he's going to heal them and just over that. It just reminds me of that preacher that was trying to heal, said he's going to cast out demons over Skype. And you got these guys going, like, really?
But he has a book, Packard.
Yeah,
books about it.
Yeah, and he's charging people to call him. Well, if you want to be cast out your demons, send me $10 and put it in this PayPal account, and then I'll take the demons out of you. Okay. Think about it for just 2 seconds. If you were a demon, if you actually existed, would you let the guy call a preacher and then give them money to get rid of you over Skype? Think about it for 2 seconds. If you think that...
I think the guy actually put the demons in them, and then he's taking them out.
Right.
I think it's a scam.
I think it's a scam, too. Oh, awesome. All right, let's move on to our next topic for this evening. And our funny tweet tonight comes from And Sarah 2, that's A-N-D-S-A-R-A-H 2, and she says, I like that CNN is tweeting a picture of Ebola bacteria. It will be handy in case I encounter it in the wild with my microscope vision. Joe, your thoughts?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, because I've seen pictures of the Ebola virus, and it's just like, it starts splitting off and everything when they do it in video.
It looks like a bendy straw.
It does look like a bendy straw. A very weird bendy straw. You know, that's a great idea, Joe. We'll just make bendy straws. Like, buy this bendy straw. It's Ebola shaped. So you'll know.
Suck some Ebola into your mouth.
Connie, your thoughts.
Here's the wild Ebola. It's a gnarly little virus. I think I can capture it.
Sorry, that's all I've got.
That's okay.
It's a really bad Steve Irwin, and Steve Irwin's dead, so that was probably.
That's all right. It's never
also
too...
wrong. So
never
it's
too
October.
Soon.
It's Halloween.
Right. I remember the first Halloween after he died, that Steve Irwin died. Someone put a manta ray looking like he was sticking out of his chest. I was like, what, too soon? So.
My daughter actually quite admired him. But she's a shark and a crocodile.
Right.
Get there from Ebola. Oh, because it's in the wild. Never mind.
Right.
Thinking about like wrestling Ebola. Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, Crystal says, I cried when he died. Yes, it was a sad thing. But he died doing what he wanted to do, he loved doing.
Yeah.
And that was awesome.
That was his mistake, though. He should not have just, he just ripped it out, and that's where he caused him to die. So he should have gone to the hospital. So
it's such a freak accident how he died.
Yep.
Like, yeah, what are the chances of that happening? I mean, he was around so many dangerous animals all through his life, and for
right
him to get stung by a manta ray, like who the hell dies from that?
Apparently he did. Apparently he did.
Yeah, him. it's like stingray
take that,
deaths
Chuck
that
Norris.
Year, Steve.
Crystal was saying that he would have died anyway. I was like, okay.
You know what?
I don't know.
Can we treat Chuck Norris for Steve Irwin? Because can we go back and in a black hole and do that? Because I'd like Steve Irwin back.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout out this evening comes from Joe. And Joe's shout out is for the human... The Human Bible, that's HumanBible, and it's a podcast of The Bible Geek.
Yes, that's the podcast for me.
Joe, sorry. Can you tell us about The Bible Geek, please?
Well, The Human Bible is a podcast that's produced by the CFI, the Center for Inquiry, and it's hosted by Robert M. Price, and he's a biblical scholar. He's super smart about the Bible. The description for that show is, The Human Bible is a podcast that deconstructs and demystifies the Bible. It takes a secular, sober, and impartial look at the Bible. No belief in the supernatural, no favoritism, no animosity, no questions are off limits, and no dogma satisfies our inquiry. Now, this show hasn't been any new episodes lately, but if you go back to episode 1 and start listening, it's like taking a course, a college course in textual criticism. So if you're really interested in the Bible, where it came from, what's up with it, you know, like what's, you know, things like what is the Gnostic problem and you know, what are the sources of some of these books, this podcast goes through all that. It goes through it and talks about it and explores that, and it's really informative. Now, as Packard mentioned, Dr. Price also does another podcast called The Bible Geek, and The Bible Geek is not from the CFI. It's his own personal podcast that he does in his like living room, and that one where
he does a podcast in his living room. How gauche. Like I do that myself.
Oh, it's yo, sometimes when you're listening to it, you'll hear his house phone ring, and then you hear a click, and then you'll hear him come back, and he'll be like, sorry, I had to answer the phone. So yeah, in the Bible Geek, people write him questions. People who are studying the Bible and have questions will write to him, and they'll be like, oh, what about, you know, John such and such, or what about Matthew versus Luke, this and that and the other, and he'll give the answer. And so it's like The Human Bible is the course in biblical textual criticism, and The Bible Geek is the podcast to listen to for the interaction between student and teacher. And it's so informative. And he drops the names and authors of so many books. It's ridiculous. If you're an addict to Amazon.com, get ready to spend a lot of money, because you're going to be like, oh, he recommended a book. I need to get that book. Wait, he recommended another book. And he said in these podcasts that he just rattles all this shit off the top of his head. There's no script. Like, he's just sitting there. Like, he's that smart. Like, he's
damn.
Just like, oh, okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. Bang! Bang! You know? Like, he's like that. It's
damn.
Great. It's awesome. It's so much fun learning about biblical history with these two podcasts. And if you are interested in that kind of stuff, then totally listen to it and check it out.
Yep, definitely. Definitely check him out. And he's at The Human Bible. That's HumanBible. All right, well, we're going to get out of here. And remember, if you would like to interact with the show next week, well, not next week, probably during our longer shows, call 857-216-3200 and use PIN number 35368 about 10, 20 minutes before the show, and we'll get you on and have you comment on what we're talking about on the show if you would like to join the show. As always, go to patreon.com/PackardPokesAt and donate $1 or $2. That'd be really helpful if you could do that. All right. I want to thank everybody for coming. This has been Packard Pokesat. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.